Lucas Shostrom, Executive Director with the Minnesota Milk Producers Association.
Lucas, we're not quite halfway into 2018. How would you describe the nearly first half of the year from a dairy farmer perspective?
Mark, we saw bad prices coming already late last year for the dairy industry, and they showed up, especially in February, and we're picking back from that time. Obviously, everyone's pay price is slightly different, so I won't throw out numbers, but we've got optimism, I would say, between February and now, people hoping things can get better. The one indicator of that is the margin protection program, which, you know, we would encourage people to sign up if they're under 5 million pounds of actual production history, so they'll be at least a few hundred dollars ahead when they do that, assuming they have a million pounds or more. Their estimated payment has gone down. It used to be like $3,000 or even $4,000 per million pounds. And while that might sound bad, oh, I'm getting less money from the government, that's actually a really good thing because that money should be coming based on how the formula has been fixed and our monthly payment system instead of bi-monthly. That's great news again because that money should be coming from demand for the product now instead of the government, which of course long-term is a much better thing to rely on. So if you would have called me in January or February, not much to talk about, but I'm hearing a lot of people going into their bankers with some optimism. We've got a robot barn starting up right by me, 5 miles down the road. That's really exciting. And I'm hearing others looking at new technology and new ways of doing things. But, of course, it's going to take some time to recover from what we just went through, you know, the past 12 months and really past few years of kind of mediocre prices.
Based on current market factors, Lucas, is there a size or scale of dairy that's maybe been hit the hardest through this down cycle in milk prices?
Mark, of course, when we're talking cost of production, generally speaking, a larger facility is going to have a lower cost of production. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's the case. There's many advantages to being bigger, but there's also advantages to being smaller, of course, on a personal level. However, besides that trend or that you know, kind of generally stated economic principle, there's many dairies that stand out and beat the trend. And my lender friends or our Minnesota Milk Associate member lenders, we had a discussion in February or early March with the Commissioner of Agriculture here in Minnesota as this crisis was kind of hitting a fever pitch. And they came to us and said, hey, you know, I mean, let's get support out to dairies. But, you know, we want you to know that there's farmers in every size group that are making money. And, you know, that doesn't mean they're better farmers than anyone else. They might have had better luck or just a better situation. However, our lenders said that profit per cow as opposed to pounds per cow alone is really the true driver of success for those dairies. And, again, at any size. And again, there's good luck and bad luck from year to year with weather or maybe locking in markets at the wrong time or locking in prices, I should say, at the wrong time in the markets. But our lenders tell us there are some consistent people who have honed in on profit per cow instead of pounds per cow. And so I would say it's possible to be competitive at any level rather than just say the larger ones are better off.
I really want to be sensitive in how I ask this because we're talking about a person's livelihood, but I've been hearing not only in Minnesota but Wisconsin too about more dairy farms going under. Is that actually happening, or was my information maybe a little bit misguided, misunderstood?
Mark, I think it's pretty obvious when you look at the auction bills and you look at, well, as we drive around the countryside, me living in Stearns County, unfortunately, it seems to be an uptick in trending of farms going out of business. But I think we got to remember there's trends, but there's also a story with each month. Some of them were just planning on being done this year. Some probably made a wise business decision looking ahead and said, hey, you know, it's time for us to hang it up. And others are just in a really bad situation financially and were forced to. So there's a variety of reasons people going out. Unfortunately, I can't answer your question well. We just don't have good enough stats day by day or even month by month to say, yeah, we're up 10% or we're down 12% in dairy farm losses in the state. But I think it's pretty clear the trend is up right now this spring, and that's unfortunate. But I have a very Our board of directors in Minnesota Mouth keeps us grounded when times are tough like this. And one of them said to me not too long ago that there's just as much opportunity when prices are down as when prices are up. And I think that's something to remember. At those auctions, at those times that are unfortunately really tough to talk about, there's also people buying the cows, and there's also people buying facilities that may be vacant for a short time. So as you said, as sad as it is and as hard as it is to talk about someone's livelihood ending, there's people taking opportunity of the downtimes and prices that are unfortunate, but that's how we get the innovators and that's how we get new people in as well. So it's an unfortunate part of the business cycle, but yeah, I would agree with you that we're hearing that there's probably an uptick in farms going out. Is that 5% more than normal or 50% more than normal? It's just too hard to say with the statistics we have available.
You mentioned MPP. As far as other policy things that you're really watching closely that impact dairy farmers directly, I'm thinking about NAFTA and the situation with Canada and what gets resolved there, if anything. Also with the Farm Bill, and I know MPP is the major component of that's important to dairy, but maybe other aspects of that policy. What are you really paying close attention to right now, Lucas?
Mark, there's probably two major things that we're watching really closely and trying to get information on so farmers can make short and long-term business decisions. MPP is in a good spot. If we got to a farm bill this year, which is looking doubtful, of course, it would only be improved, and that's great news. But the bad news is it probably won't happen anytime soon. But the two things we're really watching probably even more closely than that is trade and exports. And again, with opportunity, these low prices, as unfortunate as they are on an individual level, they give us a big opportunity to find new customers abroad. And when we do that, we need to keep those customers long-term. We can't just have those customers for a couple minutes or a couple days or even a couple years. We need to be long-term customers. So these low prices give us some opportunity to do that hopefully result in higher prices as we create and sustain those relationships. The other thing I would say that hasn't happened yet is the Dairy RP program, which is crop insurance type program for milk. You can protect both your revenue, or you can protect both your price and your production level. I got a tractor going by here, so apologize for that. But that'll be a really nice program that farmers will be familiar with because it'll be subsidized like crop insurance and utilized like crop insurance, sold on the private market. So with the LGM cap coming off earlier this year, that also allows dairy RP to be used in a similar way. So that's a big benefit, and we're watching the development of that. Our own Dr. Martin Bozick is involved with the development, and so we've been giving him advice as a board, and our member co-ops have been giving him advice and kind of playing with some early versions of it. It's looking like it'll be done in the next year, but we're really excited for that.
How about with the state legislature as the session is winding down? What big policy items are either good or bad for dairy in Minnesota?
Mark, the big two things that we've worked on, we play a lot of defense, first of all, I should say. So there's several things that came up through the legislature, and I won't mention them because they went away, luckily. But there's several things that came up in the legislature this year where we were able to stand there and say, no, this is a really bad idea, whether it's an environmental regulation or something that would be bad for dairy farmers. So that's probably the primary thing on defense that we do every session, but especially this session when nothing needed to get done. This year, our two major initiatives were both in play. Section 179 has a really good chance, if we get a new tax bill, of being in there. As we're talking here Friday morning, right before session ends, let's see, we got 48 to about 50, 60 hours left of session at a max. It's not looking good right now, but hopefully things change fast. And if they do change positively, Section 179 we think will be in there, which is so exciting for dairy farmers. And next year we'll work to be able to use that bonus depreciation held over several years, since in a commodity cycle, of course, we have profitable years and then we have unprofitable years. So it'd be nice to use that. The other thing that we've really worked hard on, unfortunately, hadn't made it into any final bills. Things can change, but expanding the beginning farmer tax credit to immediate family members. Tax Chair Greg Davids has reached out and said this is something we can work on next year because it didn't make it in the final bills, which is unfortunate, but good to have the door open and a path forward. And again, that tax credit's there. You just can't use it with immediate family members right now. So hopefully next year we can change that. So a land sale would have a 5% tax credit, rental is 10%, and a sharecropping sort of arrangement would have 15% arrangement. Available right now, but just not to family members. And for dairy farmers transitioning and all farmers transitioning from one generation to the next, that would be extremely beneficial to keep farms in the family and keep farms on the land.
Lucas, anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
No, I think, again, we've covered it all. Exports is kind of our top thing overall. It's a long-term issue, not anything short-term. And then the other thing that's going to have a big impact is the farm bill, if and when it comes. And we'll be probably queuing up for that next year. But in the meantime, adding a lot of comments on this House and Senate version that are getting done now.